Beloved congregation of the Lord, when we read in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we find there the Pharisees, then you know that they are people who are always critical, always finding fault, especially with the Lord Jesus. They had all their minute laws. They lived in constant fear that they might be missing something in a life of obedience. And children, that's because the Pharisees' religion is based on what they can do to earn salvation and to keep salvation. And the Lord Jesus Christ came and he showed that true religion is based on what he alone has done. The Pharisees were very, very strict. Also, and especially when it came to observing the Sabbath laws. God's law, for example, forbade harvesting on the Sabbath day. We heard it this morning. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. In it you shall do no manner of work. And yet God's people, you can read this later on, the prophet Nehemiah, he says, in those days I saw in Judah some treading the wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in sheaves and loading donkeys on the Sabbath day. And I testified, what evil thing is this that you do and profane the Sabbath day? You bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath. The people of Israel knew there was to be no reaping, no threshing on the Sabbath day. Everyone understood that. No harvesting on the Sabbath day. But the Pharisees, as usual, were not satisfied with that. They added to the Sabbath law. 39 activities strictly forbidden on the Sabbath. You could not even pick a little bit of grain with your hand because that would be reaping. You couldn't rub it together in your hands because that would be threshing. You couldn't pick a piece of fruit off a tree because that would be harvesting. In fact, they went so far that they said, you cannot walk on grass on the Sabbath day because when you break that piece of grass, you're threshing. They were so concerned about breaking Jehovah's Sabbath laws that they made many more laws around that law to make sure that they kept the Sabbath. And in Jesus' day, the Sabbath day had become a huge burden for the Jewish people. All it was a long list of do's and don'ts, a long list of measurements. No traveling on the Sabbath. You could only take so many steps on the Sabbath day. And if you took more than the allotted number of steps, you would be breaking the Sabbath law. Even today, in hotels in Israel, if there's an elevator, they have a Sabbath elevator. And it's pre-programmed to stop at every floor so that on the Sabbath day, Jewish people don't have to push that button because that's work. So that it stops on every floor so you don't have to push the button. You see how the Pharisees' system made the Sabbath day a burden for the people. You can't do this. You can't do that. You must do such. You must do so. And that was never the Lord's intention with the Sabbath day. When the Lord Jesus Christ came, he showed the people a different way. He taught us the principles of the Sabbath. And those principles are, we'll see this morning, that the Sabbath day is made for us. And that Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath day. The Sabbath for Christians is the Lord's day. Every Sunday, children, is the Lord's day. And he made it for us. And it is to be devoted for rest and worship. And if we think about that, if we rest on this day, and if we worship, then it's not a burden. And we may do works of necessity and works of mercy. But the Lord's Day is meant to be a delight for the people of God. Well, I had originally planned to preach this sermon on the first Lord's Day of the year, 3 weeks ago, but we know what happened. COVID came and we couldn't do that, so now I'm going to do it on the third Lord's Day of the new year. But our text this morning is Mark chapter 2, verses 23 to 28. Let me just read to you the last two verses, 27 and 28. This is God's word. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Our theme this morning is Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath. And we will see him, first of all, questioned by the Pharisees, and then using a biblical example, and finally teaching biblical principles. Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath, questioned by the Pharisees. Verse 23, it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn. So children, this morning we're going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and his disciples on the Jewish Sabbath day. That would be Saturday. And from the beginning of chapter 3, we know that Jesus is on his way to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. So we could say Jesus and his disciples are on the way to church, just like we normally do on Sundays. From their home to the church, they follow a path and it runs through the grain fields. It's probably a wheat field or barley or some other grain like that. And we can imagine them just like in the parable of the sower and the seed. You remember that? There's a little pathway that runs between the fields. And the grain is growing on either side of this pathway and it's ripe for harvesting. Matthew tells us in the parallel passage that his disciples were hungry and they began to pluck the ears of grain and to eat them. So you may imagine this. On the way to church, the disciples are hungry and they begin to pick some of these ears of grain. And it's all very legal. The Hebrew law said you could do that. The owner couldn't stop you as long as it was growing right alongside of the path, as long as you didn't walk into his field. The Lord's law had made provision for hungry travelers. The parallel passage in Luke says his disciples plucked the ears of corn and ate, rubbing them in their hands. I don't know if you've ever done that with some grain. You can pick that ear of grain, you can rub it in your hand and blow the chaff away, and you can actually eat the little kernels. That's what they're doing. That makes perfect sense to them. When you're hungry and you can receive some food without having to steal it, you may take it. The disciples didn't even give this a second thought. But as we watch the Lord Jesus, we also notice some other people walking along that same path, likely going to the same synagogue. And among those other people, we see some very serious, solemn faces, not friendly at all, not happy at all to be going to church that morning. They are the Pharisees. And they see Jesus' disciples plucking that grain and rubbing it and blowing the chaff away and eating it, and they are so upset. And they turn to Jesus and they address him as the master of these disciples, and they said to him in verse 24, behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? Behold means look at them, Jesus. Don't you see what they're doing? Why are they doing this illegal thing on the Sabbath? They're breaking the Sabbath laws. And all the rabbis know the fine points of the law, and you do too, Jesus. Why are you letting them do this? Don't you know what it says in Exodus 34? 6 days shalt thou work, But on the seventh day thou shalt rest, in earing time and in harvest thou shalt rest. And they turned to the master of the disciples and they asked their why question. They're always coming with that question. They'll ask at one time, why does this Jesus eat with publicans and sinners? Earlier in this chapter, we read it together before, why don't your disciples fast, Jesus? Well, the Pharisees saw the disciples plucking and reaping and rubbing grain in their hands, threshing, and they were doing what was illegal on the Sabbath. Why are they doing that, Jesus? And Jesus has an answer for the Pharisees. And as always, he speaks with authority. He speaks with power. And in his answer to the Pharisees, as always, he goes to Scripture, their own Old Testament Bible. That's our second thought. Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath, using a biblical example. And he said to them, have you never heard what David did when he had need and was hungry, he and they that were with him? And the Lord Jesus addresses these Bible scholars who know their Bibles oh so well with the stinging questions. Have you never read what King David did? And Jesus purposely uses one of their own heroes, King David, the man after God's own heart. King David, of whom they knew very well what it said in 1 Kings 15, that David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. He turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life. The Pharisees knew that verse very well. But they also ignored the end of that verse, which said, except only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. They thought they could overlook that in the life of David. Well, we read together this morning from 1 Samuel 21 what actually happened, what Jesus is talking about here. David is running away from Saul. And he comes to a little place called Nob, to Ahimelech the priest. And he lies to him about the king having sent him to do some work, and now they're tired, and so now they need some bread. The king did no such thing. But he says, now therefore, Ahimelech, what is under your hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in my hand, or whatever is here present. And the priest answers him and said, there is no common bread under my hand, but there is hallowed bread, holy bread. So the priest gave him that holy bread, for there was no bread there but the showbread that was taken from before the Lord to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. So this is in the tabernacle. There was that showbread, which was a picture of the Lord Jesus, the bread of life. And once a week, those 5 loaves would be changed, and there would be fresh bread put there, and then the priest would eat that old bread. And now the Lord Jesus says to the Pharisees, have you never read what David did? When he had need and was hungry, he and they that were with him, how he went into the house of God, which he was not allowed to do. He went into the house of God in the days of Ahimelech, the son of Abiathar the high priest, and he ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, but only for the priests. And he even gave it to those who were with him. And yes, the Pharisees had read this, and they knew this history very well, and they had had great debates about it, and they even allowed an exception for King David. It was okay for him to break the law that day because he was so hungry. And Jesus says, have you never read this story? And children, remember, Jesus knows everything. He could read their thoughts. He knew that they knew the law of the showbread, how every Sabbath that old bread would be exchanged for the fresh loaves, and how the priests only, Aaron and his sons, would be able to eat that other bread. It was only for the priests, never to be eaten by anyone else. And yet King David, when he was hungry, came into the holy place where the showbread was. And he was given that holy bread and he ate it with his hungry companions. All of them ate from it, even though the divine law said it is only for the priests. So what point is Jesus making here? Well, if David had the right to break ceremonial laws when necessity demanded it, then would not the King of Kings have a right, when necessity demanded it, to set aside their totally unbiblical and man-made Sabbath regulations? And just to add to it, Matthew says that Jesus also said to them at that time, "Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath day the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say to you that in this place is one who is greater than the temple. But if you knew what that meant, 'I will have mercy and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless." Jesus says to the Pharisees, even the priests on the Sabbath day are the busiest. That's their busiest day of the week. They do more work on the Sabbath day than on any other day, just like pastors today do. And the Sabbath says, you shall do no manner of work on the Sabbath day. And here they are working, yet they are blameless, because there is one greater than the temple, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And they are representing him and doing his work. And the Pharisees don't condemn the priests, but they do condemn guiltless disciples. And Jesus reminds them of another scripture, Hosea chapter 6. "For I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." And Jesus wants them to focus on the inner matters of life. "I desire mercy," says God, "not your burnt sacrifice. I desire the knowledge of God in you more than burnt offerings." Jesus knows, and we know, and the Pharisees know, that they're always concentrating on outward matters of life. They are more interested in dressing just right than they are in repentance and faith. The Pharisees are more interested in proper hand washings than they are in having their sins washed away out of their sinful hearts. They're more interested in using just the right words than they are in having a heart that is right with God. They're more interested in doing certain things and not doing other certain things than they are in believing the word of God and taking God at his word. In our text in Mark chapter 2, they're more interested in observing the disciples harvesting in their thoughts then than in their own disobedience. They're more focusing on other people's actions than they are on their own soul's condition. They're looking carefully how others failed to live up to their man-made standards than they are in examining how they lived up to God's perfect standard. And all the while they're looking at others, they're not looking at themselves in the light of the Word of God. You know, we had a faithful preacher in Chilliwack, BC, who said, "The Pharisee is alive and well. He lives right here in my heart." And beloved, it's not such a good sign when you and I are ready to criticize our neighbor for whatever it is, before we take a good, hard look at ourselves. That's what Jesus is teaching the Pharisees here. Take a good, hard look at yourself before you criticize my disciples for what you call harvesting on the Sabbath day. So Jesus is questioned by the Pharisees. He uses a biblical example, but that's not all he does. Out of that, he teaches them and us biblical principles. Verse 27, he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath." Children, the word Sabbath is a Hebrew word that means stop and rest. So when we read of the Sabbath day, it is the day of rest. And that Sabbath is a creation ordinance. It goes all the way back to the very beginning. Genesis chapter 2, on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. So that Sabbath is a creation ordinance, but it is also a moral obligation for us, yes, even today, according to the fourth commandment of the Ten Commandments. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy is just as binding on us as thou shalt not steal. What does the command say? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So the Sabbath day is a creation ordinance. It is a moral obligation, but it is also an ordinance of grace. It is a picture of the eternal rest of the saints in Christ Jesus. Hebrews 4, verse 9 and following. "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest has also ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, into that Sabbath." So that's what the Sabbath is. And Jesus says, the Sabbath was made for man. Man was not made for the Sabbath. And this is how he continues his answer to the Pharisees. You remember their question. Why are your disciples doing what is illegal on the Sabbath day? And he's already used the biblical example of King David. Now he adds this principle, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. And it reminds them and us of the creation week. God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them on the sixth day. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And then, children, what did the Lord do? When he had finished his creation work, he made one more thing. He made the Sabbath day. He instituted the day of rest. Thus, the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. That means he made it holy, because in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Now, children, do you think that God needed to rest? God never needs to rest. God didn't make the Sabbath day for himself. He didn't need a day of rest. But he made the Sabbath day for someone else. Here, Jesus says, the Sabbath was made for man. I can say this morning, the Sabbath was made for you and for me. The Lord knew what he was doing. He had put Adam and Eve to work in the garden. He knew they would work hard in that garden. He knew that they would need to rest. He also knew that they would fall. So he knew that you and I would need a day of rest every week. And so the Lord made the Sabbath for mankind, for the human race. He didn't make it for himself. He made the Sabbath for man as his gift to us, to all human beings. And the Lord also sees and knows what we have done with his gift of the Sabbath day. The Lord knows and sees how the world abuses the Sabbath day. The Lord knows what day of the week the Super Bowl is played. That's why it's called Super Bowl Sunday, for example. The Lord knows when the Pride Parade is done, it's on Sundays. The Lord knows that businesses are open on the Lord's Day just as much as they are on any other day of the week under normal circumstances. Maybe, perhaps, we can think of COVID maybe as a way of the Lord telling us, take a look at how you observe the Lord's Day. And I can take it away from you very quickly. Maybe that's what the Lord is saying to the world at large. But maybe the Lord is saying something like that to the church too at this time. At least for myself, I think sometimes the Lord is saying to me, you took my Sabbath day so for granted so many times, and now I'm going to just take it away from you for a while to show you that I am the Lord of the Sabbath. I made that day for you to rest and to worship, because our God sees how also the church has abused the Lord's Day. How many times we have neglected the blessing of this gift of the Sabbath and have not used it at all for rest and worship. Well, before we continue, we're going to sing 227. Do you see the Lord's Day, Sunday, as a gift from God? A precious gift from a gracious God to undeserving sinners like us. Jesus tells us the Sabbath, the Lord's Day, is made for boys and girls. It's made for men and women. The Lord's Day is made for sinners. Not for sinning, but for sinners. The Lord's Day is made for our good. It's for our benefit. It's for our profit, for our welfare. It's made for us. Parents, instill this in your children. Today is made for us by the Lord. The Sabbath, says Jesus, was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. That means the Lord's day is our servant. We are not made to serve the Sabbath. The Sabbath is meant to serve us. It's meant to help us. We are not slaves to the Sabbath like the Pharisees are. As if we can somehow do something for the Sabbath. No, the Sabbath helps us. The Sabbath serves us. It is a day of rest made for us, to do us good. It's not as if we can do the Sabbath any good. We were made, created in God's image to serve the Lord. We were not made to serve the Sabbath. The Sabbath is not meant to be a burden to us. The Sabbath is made for us to enable us to serve the Lord in worship. So the Sabbath, the Lord's day, becomes our helper. The Sabbath becomes a delight. The Pharisees had it all wrong. They were so busy serving the Sabbath that the Sabbath had become a slave driver to them. It had become a big burden. They taught, we are made for the Sabbath. Not that the Sabbath is made for us, but Jesus says it very clearly. God made the Sabbath for man. They taught just the other way around. God made man for the Sabbath, as if the Sabbath was higher than man. They taught that God had set the standard of holiness in the Sabbath, the day of rest. And all their focus would be on outward things. It is to be a test for us to see how truly pious we are. And that was never God's intention. In fact, God hated that kind of teaching and that mindset in Old Testament times already. Listen to what Isaiah says. That the Lord says, when you come to appear before me, who has required this at your hand? To tread my courts, the new moons and the Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies. I can't stand these things, says God. It's iniquity. Even the solemn meeting, their Sabbath observance, their man-made rules for worship. God says, I can't stand those things. And Jesus adds another principle here. Therefore, verse 28, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. The Son of Man is the name that's given to the Lord Jesus in the book of Daniel already. He's called the Son of Man. Don't think that somehow this only refers to his human nature. It doesn't. He is called the Son of Man as the Son of God. And we confess the universal principle of the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the master of the universe, also of the Sabbath. Christ Jesus is Lord of all. And Jesus teaches the Pharisees and us, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. And in the New Testament, the Sabbath is no longer on Saturday. Now it's on the first day of the week. The Because that's the day that the Lord Jesus rose from the dead. And it's also called the Lord's Day. In the New Testament, that's what it's referred to. You can refer to it as the Christian Sabbath, the Christian day of rest. There's this universal truth. The Lord's Day is made for mankind, for every human being. And it's also a universal truth that the Son of Man is Lord of the Lord's Day. He was then, and He is now. Jesus Christ is Lord, also Lord of the Lord's Day. What rich blessing is in this truth. The gospel is this morning, the Son of Man is the Lord of this day. He is the Lord of our worship service. You say, well, how does all that apply to us today? This year, what do we do now with this, knowing that the Sabbath is made for man and that the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath? Well, you know that regular pattern of working and resting is still in place. It's still universal. If we want to be healthy, physically, mentally, spiritually, we have to have a rest every once in a while. And that's why the Sabbath, or the Lord's Day, the day of rest, is given for rest and worship. And since our spiritual welfare is more important than anything else, then the Lord's Day is to be employed to promote that. My relationship with the Lord. My soul's condition. My soul's state before God. And then we're not commanded to make another long list of do's and don'ts. But we should ask ourselves, am I using the Lord's Day that God made for me to honor the Lord of this day? Is what we are doing right now as a family working for our eternal welfare? Or afterwards, is our conversation right now promoting the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of the Lord's Day? See, under normal circumstances, there would be more than 300 people here this morning. So let's just think about those normal circumstances when, Lord willing, in short time, we will all be back here and we can all attend church again. And then think about our actions and our attitudes before the worship service and during the worship service and after the worship service. How do we prepare for worship? That applies today just as well. We heard recently at sermon discussion of a family that used to kneel together for prayer before going to church. The whole family, children and all, kneel down, praying for the Lord's blessing before they left home. Would that help us, you think, to prepare for the worship service? And when we arrive, could we be praying in our pews, reading the scripture ahead of time, and during the worship service, listening prayerfully and attentively and believingly and singing with our whole beings, and after the worship service, discussing the sermon with our children? Just some thoughts. Not to make another long list of do's and don'ts, but simply checking ourselves. Every home has its rules for Sunday, and you must have them. It's good, but remember, the Lord's Day was made for us. And when our heart is right with God, then the Lord's Day is not a burden at all. Let us give thanks to God for this priceless gift, the gift of a day of rest, a day set aside for us to worship the Lord of the Lord's Day. And the Lord Jesus would have us apply his biblical principles to how we observe the Lord's Day. They're spelled out for us in the Scriptures. Think of Isaiah chapter 58. If you turn away from doing your pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways or your own pleasure or speaking your own words, then thou shalt delight thyself in the Lord. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And Jesus says the Lord's day is made for us. And I am the Lord of the Lord's day. So let us use the Lord's day to delight ourselves in the Lord of the day. And let us cherish this gospel of the Lord's day and the fact that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the Lord of this day. I know these days, this year, last year, everything is so different. You remember last January? We were all here, February 2. And then from the middle of March to the middle of June, there were only 5 of us here. And then we could go to 30% of our capacity from June to December, and now we're down to 10 again. Now, you and I may not agree with these particular government regulations. We may not even agree with complying to these regulations. But this is where we are. 5 people here this morning, the rest of us at home. But you know what has not changed? It is still the Lord's day. And it is still the Lord's word. And Jesus is still the Lord of the Lord's Day. And the Lord's Day was still made for us. So let's let nothing interfere with the worship service. Even if we're limited at this time to using sermon audio, let us set aside those times in our families. Let nothing interfere there. Maybe you wonder, are we worshiping really if we can't all physically be here? Oh yes, we are. Oh yes, the Lord is not limited to one particular place. We may worship this way. And parents, are you maintaining that reverence for the Lord of the Lord's Day as you watch and listen at home? I know that sometimes it's going to be tempting to just log on whenever it's convenient. But you see, if you don't log on at the very beginning of the worship service, then you and your children are missing out. You're missing out when we tell the Lord, our help is in your name, O Lord. We need you. And you're missing out when the Lord replies to us, grace be unto you and peace from the triune God. You might even be missing out on the prayers, the congregational prayers of the church. Oh, what blessings we could miss. Our children need to know that even in the midst of a pandemic, it is still the Lord's day. And Jesus is still the Lord of the Lord's day. And the Word of God is still being preached the same as if you were here. And the pastor prayed for you as he prepared the sermons, just like always, maybe even more these days. Let us try then as much as possible to maintain the Lord's Day as the special day of the week. And parents, let's show our children we love this day. It is God's gift to us so that we may worship Him and we don't have to worry about our work today. The commandments of the Lord are not grievous. Let us remind each other that no one has ever kept the Sabbath day 100% holy. Even though we know the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord of the Lord's day, yet none of us has ever honored Him as we ought to. Every Lord's day of our lives, we have come short of the glory of God. This Lord's Day too. Me too. And yet every Lord's Day, the Lord of the Sabbath calls us to rest and to worship. To rest in Christ. To worship the Lord Jesus. Jesus, the Lord of the Lord's Day, kept the Sabbath day holy so that we may rest in His perfect obedience. And when we do that, then the Sabbath is truly a delight, a foretaste of that eternal rest for weary souls. Every Lord's Day, the Lord of the Lord's Day comes to us in the preaching of His Word, and He's calling us sinners, come unto Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you Sabbath. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest, Sabbath, unto your souls. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. That rest, beloved, is found only, that Sabbath rest, in Christ alone. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, we thank You for the precious gospel of the Sabbath day. Not only that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath, but especially that the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Lord Jesus, we acknowledge You as the Lord of this day too, this Lord's day and next Lord's day. And the coming one, Lord, we look forward to that eternal rest that awaits the people of God. And in the meantime, Lord, we desire more and more to rest in the finished work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for our children also during this pandemic, as everything is different. Lord, that they may yet find that the Lord's Day is still the Lord's Day, and that the Lord Jesus is still the Lord of the Sabbath day, of this day too. Lord, we pray for those in our congregation who are still strangers to Christ, strangers to grace, that they, O Lord, may find in Him all that they need, not only to be their Savior, but to be their Lord, also the Lord of the Sabbath. Lord, we pray for safekeeping throughout this day. And grant that we may join each other again this afternoon for the afternoon worship service. Keep us from sin and forgive our sins, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.